Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10. Today, we want to take a close look at what the Apostle John is referring to when he speaks of the purification of believers. So I'll begin today by reading just one verse, verse 3 in the third chapter of 1 John. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Now, this is amazing. The Apostle John says, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. When John uses the phrase, hopes in him, clearly John has in mind the idea that believers are looking towards Jesus. It's hard to imagine that John has in mind just a casual glance. Actually, John's whole worldview is seasoned with the conviction that true believers will be giving a long, sustained look at Jesus. The reality is that Christians have a preferred future. Our future with Christ is promised, and that experience, that future reality, is much greater than any future the world could offer. We Christians really need to grasp hold of this fact. The extent to which we presently see Jesus in His holiness, to that same extent, Jesus will transform us into His glory. If we're to change into the likeness of Jesus Christ in our day-to-day experience, then we must be in the continual practice of looking to Him and learning from Him. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So friends, what we're really thinking about is our freedom, true freedom, freedom in Christ. In verse 18, Paul writes, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Now, this is thoroughly amazing. As we behold the glory of the Lord, as we look at the glory of the Lord, as we ponder the character, life, and teachings of Jesus, as we behold all of that, the Lord is going about the work of transforming us into His image, from one degree of glory to another. My friends, that is transformation. Now, two essential assumptions are at work here. The first assumption is that our own personal transformation is a good thing. Our own purification is a good thing. The Apostle John and the Apostle Paul assume that growing into a greater likeness of Jesus is a good thing. In fact, this is a consistent theme throughout the whole New Testament. Growth in Christ's likeness is a good thing. Transformation is a good thing. Growth in purity is a good thing. The second assumption at work here is that the believer would want to change. The New Testament assumes that believers would want to be more like Jesus. The apostles write with that basic assumption that believers, the followers of Jesus, would want to be transformed into a greater likeness of their Lord. Now, here's the question. Do you really want to be like Jesus? Do you personally want to be more like Jesus? How hungry are you for being more like Jesus? In other words, do you want to change? Do you even think that you need to change? Your answer to that question, do you want to be more like Jesus, will significantly impact your faithful engagement with the Scriptures. Your answer to that question will significantly impact your own personal freedom in Christ. Your answer to that question will significantly impact your life. If you don't want to change into greater Christ likeness, then you haven't thought deeply enough or long enough on the nature, beauty, eternal delight, and freedom of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is free from the sins that entangle human beings. Being free of sin is freedom, true freedom. When we're free from sin, we can be all that God desires for us to be, and that is freedom. Fully dependent upon God, but unhindered by the chains of sin. Now, we all are entangled with sin to some extent. We know that's true because none of us is sinless. So, sin has a chokehold on our freedom. What the gospel teaches us is that as we grow in Christ, we sin less. And when we sin less, we experience greater separation from sin. We experience greater freedom. Freedom as God intended it. A kind of freedom that is wholly dependent upon God and free from the entanglements of sin. We won't experience this freedom fully until we go to be with the Lord in heaven. But even in this life, we can experience greater godly freedom by virtue of our faith in Christ and by virtue of our growth as disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay, I've already repeatedly emphasized the essential indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. But think of it. As we hope in Jesus, as we consider our future glory with Jesus, as we gaze upon Jesus, we are gradually being changed into His likeness. As we increasingly identify with Jesus, we are being changed into His likeness. Friends, our purification process, our separation from sin, our growth in Christ's likeness is an active process. It's not passive. It's not something that's merely done to us. We're active in that process. The Apostle John records Jesus as saying this in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Manifest means to make known. So Jesus makes himself known through our keeping of the commandments, through our keeping of the teachings of Jesus. The teachings of God. Of course, if we're to obey the teachings of Jesus, we must first know what those teachings are, which brings us back to the importance of Bible study. Friends, if we want Jesus to reveal himself to us, we have to obey him. If we are to gaze upon Jesus, then we look at him, his character, his life, his purposes in the Scriptures. If we're to gaze upon Jesus, we must obey what we learn from the Bible. This is the path to spiritual victory, my friends. The victory of defeating sin. This is the path to victory over sin. This is the path to transformation. The path to moral and ethical victory. The path to growth in Christ-likeness. The pathway is this: our continual, sustained, and habitual reflection and imitation of the person of Jesus Christ. Friends, we see Jesus for who he is in the Scriptures. That's why we need to methodically read, study, pray, and meditate on the Bible. But not only that, we must obey the commands of Jesus. We must obey the teachings of Jesus. We must obey, follow, and model what we read. The teachings of Scripture must be an essential feature of our own personal character. These practices are the primary means through which God transforms his people. The finishing touches will come when we actually physically see Jesus, but in the meantime, we're being purified, we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another through these means. Another means that God uses in our transformation process is our looking at how Jesus changed the lives of other people. And as we see how God has mightily used common people in the past, we're encouraged that God will also use us. We look to Jesus and the transformative power of Jesus in the lives of other people. What an encouragement! God uses the lives of other Christians as a means of strengthening us in our own Christian walk. We look to what God has done in someone's life, and we grow in our confidence that God will do a mighty transformative work in our life as well. That's one reason why reading Christian biographies is so helpful. We read about the transformation that took place in a person's life, and we see Jesus at work in that person's life. We read their testimony, and we see the Lord working. What an encouragement! The Apostle Paul encouraged folks to do this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And when Paul wrote to the troubled Corinthian church, he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So, clearly, disciples are called to be imitators of Jesus Christ. No human being replaces the primacy of Jesus. But disciples are also called to imitate the character qualities of the apostles. We also gain encouragement in our walk from common, everyday, ordinary people who've experienced the transformative work of God in their life. Okay, the purification of believers. Once again, just as a reminder, we need to keep a balanced view when we consider the purification of our own souls. We can never stray from remembering the essential work of the indwelling Holy Spirit, as well as the responsibility of believers to actively participate in our own purification. Both aspects are essential for a true Spirit-led purification to take place in a person's life. So, as we finish today, let's let the writer of Hebrews exhort us as we earnestly strive to grow in our own purification. I'll read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.